Welcome to our 13th session, 13 sharing on St. Therese. Begin with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds with your truth, and fill our hearts with your love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, we're reaching the difficult part of Therese's life, when she knew that she had tuberculosis, and when she knew that she didn't have much longer to live. Her attitude towards dying was like everybody's attitude. She didn't know exactly what was going to happen or when it was going to happen. The fact that she was so young, 24 years old, and the fact that she'd been sick since April, severely sick, April till September, she accepted the fact that her life was drawing to a close, and she was upset on one level. She was upset over the fact that, gee, at 24 years old, I want to work for souls. I want to bring souls to the Lord. I want to help the Lord, really, in His work with people. And she said, well, if I can't, if what she wanted was to come back and work for souls. And this gave her great peace. But, you know, she said also, I don't want to die more than to live. That is, if I had a choice, I would prefer to die and be with the Lord. But since it is God who makes the choice, for me, I prefer what He wills. It's what He does I love. And, you know, this is the beautiful part of Therese. She sees Jesus in the hand. She always sees, she says so clearly, be confident, it is Jesus' hand that governs all. So, on the other hand, she said, what if she gets well? Because many of the nuns were praying, Mother Gonzaga was praying that she would get well. Let no one believe that if I were cured, it would throw me off my course. See how flexible she is. If I live, if I die, or destroy my little plans, not in the least. Age means nothing in the eyes of God. I'd manage to remain a little child even if I were to live for a long time. Now, that's what you call being flexible in the spiritual life. Often during her illness, they'd come with these cauterizing remedies. They would cauterize her back with a kind of a needle, and hoping to draw the tuberculosis out of her lungs. So her sisters took wonderful care of her before she died. Mother Gonzague was letting the sisters, her blood sisters, stay with her in the evenings and talk to her. And that's where we get the book, The Last Conversations of Therese. And this particular... one day she was throwing flowers to St. Joseph, and I asked, why are you throwing flowers at St. Joseph? Are you looking for a favor? She said, no, I'm not looking for a favor. I just want to please Him. I don't want to give in order to receive. God wills that I abandon myself like a very little child who is not disturbed by what others do to him. What anyone says about me about death slides off my back like water. She said, you know, one of the nuns said to her, when you're very peaceful now, but at the time of your death, you're going to be very upset. And Therese said, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there. So what she did was she didn't project herself into the future. She just lived the present moment. Mother Agnes says to her, I have nothing to offer God when I die. My hands will be empty. How sad. This saddens me very much. And Therese said, well, it's not like that with me. Even if I had accomplished all the works of St. Paul, I would still believe myself to be a useless servant. But this precisely what makes up my joy. For having nothing, I shall receive everything from God. Now that's her spirituality. She wasn't looking at herself, she was looking at Jesus. How unhappy I shall be in heaven if I can't do little favors for those whom I love on earth. So she's very, very in tune with this. My soul is exiled. Heaven is closed for me. Earth's side is, and earth has its trials too. I understand very well that they who don't believe I'm sick, but it's God who permits this. Some of the nuns, she looked so healthy. Her face was so healthy. She was young, she's 24 years old, and the disease affected her body, but it didn't affect her face. And so some of the nuns believed that she wasn't sick. But remember, this is what she says again and again and again. God permitted this. And whatever God permits, she loved. Certainly, her last visit to the Blessed Sacrament was very touching in June, July 8th, when she they took her in a wheelchair and she sat before the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. And her last visit, they said that she stared at the host for a very long time. And I recall that in the morning after Mass, when the community was going to the oratory to pray, Therese was sitting there very, very quietly before the Eucharist. The monastery chaplain said, "You're going to make a very great sacrifice in leaving your sisters." And Therese said, "No, but I'm not leaving them. On the contrary, I shall be very close to them after my death." So we have in Therese, she's really a resurrectional person. Although she wants to remain at the foot of the cross, it's the resurrection that filters through her life. See, you can't have the cross without the resurrection. And this is the beautiful part of Therese, that she certainly was on fire with the love of God. And she thought, "How well they will understand everything comes from God," she said. "And that I shall have glory from it. All the glory will be gratuitous, a gift from God. It doesn't belong to me. People think because I haven't sinned that I have such great confidence in God." And this is true. Many people think, "Well, what did she didn't do? Commit any serious sins?" But that isn't why she didn't have confidence. She had such great confidence in God. "Tell them if I committed every crime possible, I would lose none of my peace. I would throw myself into the arms of Jesus." And this is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating someone whose confidence overcomes sins. It overcomes everything. She said, she told Mother Gonzaga, "I hold nothing in my hands. Everything I have, every merit, is for the church and for souls. If I were to live to be 80, I would always be poor as I am now." They said, "You will look down upon us from heaven." She said, "No, I will come down." And this promise that she's kept today, this is the promise why she's with us. This is why so many people in the world pray and feel Therese's presence. Remember from the very first sharing, 1,700,000 people visit her monastery every year. What is this tremendous attraction? Jesus. She was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why people are attracted to Therese. It isn't Therese. Therese was living, let the Holy Spirit do His work in her. And when people saw Therese, as they see Mother Angelica, what does Mother Angelica radiate? The Holy Spirit. That's why you want to get close to Mother. You want to be near Mother. So the holy people in our life, as Therese and Mother, they radiate Jesus. And this is what we're hungry for. She says, but nonetheless, Therese said, "Don't believe that when I'm in heaven, I'll let ripe plums fall into your mouths. This isn't what I had. It's not what I wanted to have. You will perhaps have great trials, but I'll send you lights which will make you appreciate and love them." Boy, that's deep spirituality. Jesus had great trials. We're not better than Jesus. "You will be obliged to say like me, Lord, you have filled me with joy with all the things you do." To me, this is solid spirit. It's perfect in the sense that this is what Jesus lived. That she reached such a high degree of peace because she let God be. "My heart," she said, "is filled with God's will. And when someone pours something on it that doesn't it doesn't penetrate it. It's like oil going off my back. This profound peace, nothing can disturb. I feel as if I'm about to enter my rest," she said, "to begin my mission of making God loved as I love Him, giving my little way to millions of souls. If God answers my desires, my heaven will be spent doing good upon the earth until the end of time. Yes, I want to spend my heaven doing good upon earth. I can't make heaven a feast of rejoicing. I can't rest as long as there are souls to be saved." She's a daughter of St. Teresa of Avila. She can't rest. She wants to save. "My heart beats faster at the joy of this thought." See, the more God filled her, the more she wanted to fill us. She's for us. She's with us. "God would not have given me this desire to do good upon earth after my death if He wasn't going to realize it." She writes a wonderful letter to her spiritual brother, Maurice Bellier. This is in August. She says, "I'm ready now to leave. I have received my passport from heaven, dear Father, and this is the one that grace has obtained for me. I admit you don't understand heaven the way I understand. We don't seem to understand heaven the same way. I would be unable as on earth to excuse your fault. Are you forgetting that you are sharing in the mercy of God? This Maurice was very afraid of his sinfulness and very afraid that he had committed sins that if Therese knew about it, she wouldn't love him. I believe the blessed in heaven have great compassion on us because they went through the, remember our miseries. They remember being weak and mortal like us. They committed the same faults, sustained the same combats, and their fraternal tenderness becomes greater than it was when they were on earth. They never ceased protecting us and praying for us. Now I'll give you my inheritance, she said. After my death, you will receive a relic I received on the day of when I received the habit, a little crucifix which is comparatively more dear to me than the larger one. She said, I return to this little crucifix. It is not beautiful. The face of Christ has almost disappeared. You will not be surprised at this when you realize since the age of 13, this souvenir has not left has been with me. She says, I hold our little crucifix almost always in my hands now, and when looking at it, I think with joy, after having received my kisses, it will go to claim the kisses of my little brother. Here, then, is your inheritance, and consists, in addition, will give you the last picture that I painted, and I'm going to end, dear brother, where I began, thanking you for the great pleasure you have given me in sending your photograph. He gives us his grace to love him and save souls. This is the wish of your unworthy sister, Sister Teresa, Sister Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. So we have here, this is spiritual friendship. High degree of spirituality. And the beauty of this letter is, this is when Therese was in her tremendous difficulty breathing. This was written in pencil. She was so weak. But what was she doing? Thinking of others. One time her sisters, she couldn't breathe, and her sisters would lift up her arms so that her lungs would be able to get a little air. And she certainly, like all the dying, those of you who may be terminal, those of you who are in the hospital, those of you who are facing sickness, Therese is one of us. They said, well, what are you thinking about? She said, I'm too poor to be thinking about anything. I'm just poor. And she didn't know when it would. The big question is if we have a serious illness, when is it going to happen? She let Jesus decide. She had a remission from August until the first part of September. And then they thought that she was going to get better. And she said, it would be much better to water. She said, I'm going to water the garden, one of her mother Agnes said. It would be better, much better to water me, Therese said. Why? Because I'm a little seed and no one yet knows what will develop. And what developed was a hurricane of glory. After her death, they were receiving like 1,000 letters a day. People started to come to her tomb and pray at her tomb and get answers. But her death was very, very, very difficult. She, her feet were swollen because of the tuberculosis. She had gangrene in her intestines, and she had great difficulty in her stomach digesting, and she was in pain. And, you know, she said, you know, if I suffocate, I suffocate. If you see me at my death, she wanted to die a death of love. Now, a death of love for Therese was to die like Jesus. To die like Jesus was to die in agony. So we have this beautiful picture of Therese. She said, if I seem as though I'm not at peace, or if my mouth, I get contorted because of the pain, she said, I'll be smiling at you after my death. So don't worry. I would like to have a beautiful death, she said, for your sake, for her sister's sake. So the day she died, she was like about 6-7 hours on her bed with the death rattle, you know, because she really drowned in her own, the water coming up to her, filling her lungs. And she had her hands clasped, you know, in her together, because, and you know, she kept wondering, is this the agony? She didn't know. Well, when am I going to breathe heaven's air? And the sisters came by off and on. She was suffering so much that many of the nuns couldn't go in there. You know, she was here she is, a 24-year-old girl, a young body, a good heart, a good circulatory system. So it was very difficult for Therese to die. So slowly, she went into a coma, and just before she died, she sat up in bed, which was very unusual. And she put her hands together and she said, "My God, I love you." And she just looked at something. We don't know what it was. She looked at something. "My God, I love you." She fell back and her head fell to the left. And we have some wonderful pictures. The picture of Therese right after she died. She's radiating Jesus. And nobody knows what she saw. But remember, she had her faith trial, never left her. So I think that what happened after her death was the Lord said, "Welcome, faithful servant." And she stepped out of her body and has been in glory ever since. And after her death, the monastery practically was overcome with letters and people wanting to visit there. And the Lord sent some wonderful nuns to work for her cause after she died. They were very enthused about her cause. And it very rarely happens in the life of the church that someone's canonized like 25 years after her death. That's amazing. 25 years. The people canonized Therese. The church officials were so astounded by the number. Her autobiography came out, and this is the book that you want. That's the book, her autobiography. You want to get this book and read it slowly. It's sugary on the surface, but it's solid substance when you read it. It's published by, as I said before, the Carmelites, Institute of Carmelite Studies in Washington. So please read that book. She certainly, the church, as I said, the church officials were so astounded by the number of miracles that were taking place. During the war, many of the soldiers saw her on the battlefield taking care of different people. And one man was in a hotel in Paris, and he said, who was that nun that was in here? I said, "Sir, there's no nun. This is 2:00 in the morning. There's nuns aren't out that late running around Paris." It was Therese, and that man wound up a Trappist. So, you know, she's one of the miracles she worked that I thought was so beautiful. She appeared to this Italian nun, and I think she was a poor Claire, and she had a very, very bad cold, and Therese appeared to her at night, and she said, "Teresa of Avila." This was in Italy, and she said, "No, I'm not Teresa of Avila, I'm Therese of Lisieux." And she said, "I have brought you the money that you need, the $10,000 lire, whatever she needed for her monastery." So the next morning, she was telling the sisters, and she thought it was kind of, not a joke, but she said, "I had this wild dream last night that the little French saint appeared to me, this little blessed Therese." So they went to the coffer, they went to the where they kept the money, and there was the money that they needed. But what I thought was so cute was the sister thought that she was somebody else. This is what we're celebrating, that we don't have to have great strength. Jesus is our strength. For those who are having problems with suffering, rely on Jesus. We don't rely on ourselves. Live in, you know, we who run in the way of love, she said, should not be thinking of sufferings that can take place in the future, because that's a lack of confidence. Jesus is with us today. He's going to be with us tomorrow. We leave the future in God's hand, live in the present moment. That's what she said for the spiritual directors, and I'm a spiritual director in our seminary, and it's very interesting what she says to spiritual directors. This is good for priests. "I think we have to be very careful not to seek ourselves. We can get a broken heart if we get too close to someone. And afterwards, we are sad." So Therese is always saying, "Forget yourself and you'll be happy." I always pray for the conversion of all my family, and I pray for an ongoing conversion for myself, and pray for a conversion for my directees, because the more we're converted, the happier we are. But we resist. We resist. And that's what Therese didn't do. You know, she did a lot of things in her life that are interesting, but she never really seemed to resist the Lord. And that's such a beautiful thing. You know, when you think of it, it's awesome. And you know, sometimes we all have to suffer humiliations. And it's not fun to go through a humiliation, but she says, what is our humiliation at the present moment is our glory later on. See, she always had this faith vision. She viewed everything with faith. She said something. She looked at a picture of Maurice Belliere, and she said, I'm much prettier than they are. She had a great sense of humor. I don't want to give the impression that Thérèse was going around the monastery totally recollected and never smiled. At recreation, she was the one that told the joke. She was the one that vitalized everybody. If she wasn't at recreation, there wasn't any fun. And you know, this is, she was such a free spirit that she radiated this joy. And she was never shocked at anything in the monastery. You know, and that's quite a feat, not to be shocked. And she certainly, she was worried that the sickness was going to go on too long. She said, I tell you, I have this sickness for a long time unless the Blessed Mother intervenes. And so, she calls her autobiography The Work of God. And she wants us all to understand God's gentleness through her life. One of the things that is so important for us all to do, she said, I asked her, are you thinking of your missionary brothers? She said, I was thinking of them, but ever since my sickness, I don't think about much. She said, I don't really think about much, you know, because you're poor. How did you reach such an unchangeable peace? And that's what we want, an unchangeable peace. I forget myself, and I was careful not to seek myself in anything. Now that we can, you know, mothers understand that. Mothers and fathers understand that they love their children so much that they're not thinking of themselves. And we are called to that great height of holiness. You know, there's so many things that I haven't said during this series. But remember, when you read her books, when you read her letters, when you read her poems, by her letters, we learn about Thérèse in degrees. She's not a difficult person to understand when you read her. And the Holy Spirit is speaking through her writings. That's what. Remember she said, Oh Jesus, I would like to run all over the earth announcing the gospel in all parts of the world. And that's what she's doing. She's announcing the joy of the gospel. She's announcing not to be afraid of Jesus, to be confident in Jesus. And, you know, we want to be confident as she is, especially when we don't feel this. So she's one of us. Remember, she said, when one of the sisters said, you've struggled, have you struggled much in your life? And sisters, and Thérèse said, yes. It looked like she didn't struggle because she was always so peaceful and so happy. The nuns were very shocked after they read her work because they thought that God was filling her with consolations. But she said, that's not the important thing, she said. She said the important thing was just accepting the Lord's love. And she said, it's what He's done in me. He wants to do in you. So we're celebrating this 100th anniversary of Thérèse's death. And what a joy it is to have been with you. It's given me great joy to be able to share some little ideas with you on Thérèse, that you get a spark. You know, she's an energizing person, and she says, you know, I want a magnet that will draw me to Jesus. She's the magnet. I don't think that she really understood that at the time, but she's with us, she's encouraging us, and when we pray to her, many times she'll send us a rose. Many times, you can do the novena to Thérèse, the 9-day novena, 24 glory beads, and you can do the small novena, which do a 9-hour novena to Thérèse. That is, every hour, say 24 glory beads on your rosary, you'll get a little rosary novena. That I'd like to conclude this session with two little prayers. First from John Paul. John Paul says, let us give thanks to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, John Paul, our Holy Father. Let us give thanks for the deep and simple and pure beauty which was manifested in her to the Church and to the world. Thanks to her, the entire Church has found again the whole simplicity and freshness of the cry, Abba, Father. God is our Daddy, our Father, which has its origins in the heart of Christ. So this is what we're celebrating. When God raised up Thérèse, He raised her up for us to show the good, the many things He wants to do in you if you just let Him. Never be afraid of the Lord. You know, there's mercy read Faustina and read Trez. Read the diary of Sister Faustina and read Trez's journal. It's they're twin souls. The mercy of God is for you and for me. Bathe in the mercy of God. You know, I always tell my patients in the hospital, those who are suffering, you know, just bathe yourself in the mercy of God. There's nothing to fear. That Jesus is so tender and so loving. Don't push him out of your heart. Invite him into your heart more and more and more. And Therese has many things to say that I haven't said. Many, many things that she has to say to you. And, of course, what she has to say mainly is God is love. And may the Lord bless you now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. May Our Lady cover you in her mantle of protection and holy wisdom.